Andu, the magician.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The makers of White King Soap present for your enjoyment, Chandu, the magician. Would you like to make magic your hobby? Want to do magic tricks just like Chandu? Then send a day for Chandu's first magic trick offer. Chandu calls it the Assyrian Money Changer, and it changes pennies into dimes right before your eyes. You can have this trick for your very own by sending 25 cents and a White King box top to Chandu, Los Angeles 21. You take a penny from your pocket or handbag and lay it on the table. Cover the penny with the mystic ruby block. Then remove the block while everyone watches closely. And behold, in place of the penny, there's a silver dime. Begin your collection of Chandu's magic tricks with this thrilling Assyrian money changer. Just send 25 cents in coin and the top from a box of White King soap to this address. Chandu, Los Angeles, 21, California. Chandu will send you his Assyrian money changer postpaid, complete with instructions. Send for Chandu's Assyrian money changer tonight. In the isolated monastery of He Who Knows, far up on a grim mountainside in Tibet, Frank Chandler, known in the Far East as Chandu the Magician, makes use of his occult powers to save the life of a young man who calls himself Nicholas Montaigne. But a moment later, the yogi warns him of danger, and Chandler sees in the crystal his sister's California home, where Robert Regent's laboratory has been badly damaged in a mysterious explosion. At the same moment in California, Dorothy Regent, standing with Bob and Betty in Regent's library, is terrified as she seems to hear Chandler's voice calling her name. Chandu, the magician.
Oh, Bob, what's the matter with Mother? Get Daddy up here quick. Daddy! Daddy!
Oh, sit down here, Mom.
I wonder if Uncle Frank's dead.
Oh, now, Mother.
Dorothy, don't be afraid.
Frank! Why, there he is, in the doorway.
I don't see him. Do you, Bob?
No. Mom, why don't you...
Dorothy!
Just...
Oh, listen.
Don't think I'm an apparition, Dot. You needed me just now, so I found a way to come to you.
Why can't Bob and Betty see you if it's really you?
Can you really see him, Mom?
Because they haven't the power.
What's he saying, Mother? You look
so...
Hush,
Betty.
I want you to come to Paris to meet me, Dorothy. Will you?
Paris?
Is Uncle Frank in Paris?
Will you come, Dot? And bring Bob and Betty.
But we've only just got home. And Bob and Betty are in school.
Hey, this sounds solid, Bet.
Oh, I wish Mother didn't look so awful. Mother, ask him if he really was in some kind of danger when you were so upset about him yesterday.
Not now, Betty.
Will you come, Dot?
Frank, I don't know what to say. And what about Robert?
You'll know in a little while, Dot.
Frank, I can hardly hear you. Where are you?
I may never be able to speak to you again like this. So remember, keep your mind free from fear.
Yes. Yes, I can hear you now.
You know it must be important, or I wouldn't ask you. Please come.
I'll talk it over with Robert. But, Frank, what if...
Dorothy, is Frank here?
Oh, Dad, you broke it up.
Is he gone, Mother?
Yes, I can't see him now. Robert, where were you?
Down in the filing room. Is Frank here?
No, he was talking to me.
All the way from India? Or is he in Paris, Mom?
Oh, let's not talk about it now.
But this is amazing. I never dreamed Frank had mastered such occult secrets as that. It's a fascinating idea.
Not to me.
Why? If he can actually project his image through space, There's no end to the possibilities it opens up.
Oh, please, Robert. You wouldn't be so objective about it if it happened to you.
I should hope I should be.
And anyway, we have plenty of concrete facts to think about. Just look into the laboratory.
Oh, everything's all smashed up, Daddy. We thought at first you were in there when the bomb went off.
The bomb?
Uh-huh.
Was that the noise I heard?
Well, didn't it sound like a bomb down there?
No, but it wouldn't, of course. There are 3 feet of concrete under this floor. And the door at the bottom of the stairs is solid steel, 8 inches thick.
Yeah, we know that.
Well, what happened?
Well, we don't know. Bob came in here to leave a letter for you, and when he found the curtains all drawn and no lights on, he called me.
You see, Daddy, we got so used to thinking people were hiding all over the place in Egypt that he thought...
Well, there must have been somebody in here just before I opened the door.
I'll look in the laboratory. Good heavens!
Isn't it a wreck?
All the glass is broken, of course. Retorts and so on. The windows, too, but they can be replaced.
Was there anything lying around that you were working on?
Nothing important. The thing that alarms me is that more damage wasn't done.
Alarms you?
Yes, I mean, it seems to me this explosion was only a diversion.
Someone's idea of a joke? Oh, no, Robert.
Not a joke. A scheme to get me up here while he ransacked my files down in the vault.
But there wasn't anybody in here, Daddy.
He could have lighted the fuse and gone out through the laboratory window.
Well, then how would he get down into the vault?
Someone got in there before, Bob. Before Uncle Frank came home from India.
Well, if anyone gets in now, we'll know it. I've set the burglar alarm.
The burglar alarm? I never thought of it. Oh, if I'd only said it before, those drawings of yours would never have been stolen in the first place.
I should have said it myself long ago before I went to Europe. I'll never understand how I could have been so careless.
Well, it's a good thing you didn't, Dad.
Bob, if you had the slightest idea of what that formula could mean...
Yes, but, Daddy, if those things hadn't been stolen, we'd never have known you were alive. You'd still be down in that old Algerian ruin.
That's true, Robert. And as far as I'm concerned, I'd rather have you back than all the drawings in the world. I don't care what they are.
That's very sweet, my dear. Let's go out in the other room, shall we? I'll get a man in to clean up here tomorrow.
I'll ask the gardener to do it. He comes early in the morning and he can get at it right after breakfast. Robert? Robert?
Oh, I'm sorry, dear. I'm very poor company this morning.
You were 1,000 miles away. There's the letter by your plate.
What letter?
Oh, you're hopeless. The one that came yesterday afternoon. In all the excitement, I forgot to give it to you. Darling, you're not listening to a word I say.
Yes, I am. But I keep thinking of Frank appearing to you in the library when, as far as we know, he's in India. I've never known of such a thing.
Well, let's not discuss it. I'd like to get a regular letter from Frank sent by regular mail and delivered by our regular postman.
Very well, I won't insist. May I have some more coffee? Where are the children?
It's Saturday, so they're sleeping late. You haven't read your letter, Robert.
Oh, yes.
Gee, I'm starved.
Me too. Good morning, Mother. Good morning, Daddy.
Good morning, Mom, Dad.
Good morning, children.
Who was the letter from in Paris?
I don't know.
You don't... Talk about concentration. He doesn't even know we're here. Did you talk to him about us going to Paris?
Yes, but I don't want to go and leave him here.
Well, Uncle Frank must have meant Daddy, too.
Well, he knows your father couldn't leave his work.
Oh, I suppose not. Daddy!
Good morning. Morning, Petty. I'm sorry, my dear. Oh, does it seem to you I spent every waking moment apologizing for being so absent-minded?
Well, but you're so nice when you do come up for air, we don't mind.
Well, I mind because, well, jeepers, everything in the world's happened to you, Dad, and every time I think I'm going to get told about it, you just submerge.
I'll try to stay on the surface more often.
Who's your letter from, Robert?
Oh, just another one from Blackburn. That extraordinary counsel of his can't seem to understand why I prefer to work over here in my own laboratory.
Well, what counsel, dear?
Haven't I told you, Dorothy?
No.
Someday you and the children will be so disappointed in me that you'll walk out of the house and never come back.
And you won't know the difference until one day in 1972 you'll look around and say, let me see, wasn't there somebody else around here a moment ago?
Oh, Bob.
Well, this is the situation. The counsel wants me to go to Paris and do some work. They'll furnish me a laboratory and what assistance I'll need.
Well, what do they want you to work on, Dad?
I'm afraid I can't tell you that, son.
Oh, you might know, Bob.
Blackburn sends you his regards, Dorothy.
What?
Why, I don't know him.
Well, he says he met you in Malta.
We didn't meet anyone there. Not a soul.
Except that Mr. Smith, the day we got lost in the catacombs.
Smith? Dad, is he a tall Englishman with dark hair, kind of distinguished looking?
Yes, he is, Bob.
I knew I'd seen him before. Smith.
Well, but that man had come to meet Frank. He was a member of some sort of secret committee.
That's the man.
Well, then Frank might know of this offer of yours. Only, I don't see how he could if he's in India.
Dorothy, do you mean to say you don't know what Frank's real work is? Who do you suppose all these men are in Egypt and Algeria and India who call themselves his brothers?
Well, I haven't the least idea. Who are they?
Well, perhaps I shouldn't tell you. He may feel it's better for you not to know.
How do you like that? I thought we were going to find out something at last.
Well, I don't wonder you're interested. It's out of my line, but it must be the most fascinating game in the world your uncle's playing. One of the most dangerous, too. I never pick up a paper that I don't expect to see. Where is the paper?
Right there beside you, untouched.
Touché. Oh, the news I'm looking for is always hidden inside, between the traffic accidents in the Middle West and the views of a Southern college professor on athletics for young ladies.
Hey, Dad, you'll be a gag man yet.
What?
Oh, Bob.
Oh, look here, Dorothy. What did I tell you? Frank Chandler appointed to diplomatic post in Balkans.
In the Balkans? Mm. Well, then why should he want us to meet him in Paris?
Well, you see, Dorothy, who's that man?
Cutting the grass? Well, it's the new gardener. I better call him over to the window and speak to him about cleaning up the laboratory.
No.
But, Robert, you can't possibly work in there.
Where did he come from?
Oh, from the employment agency.
Send him away, Dorothy, now.
Why?
Don't ask questions. Just get rid of him.
But the poor man needs the work. He hasn't been working for months, he said.
I can believe it.
You can't mean you know Marco.
Not by that name. But the last time I saw him, he was working as a guard for Roxor.
The alchemist of old spent his lifetime trying to change base metals into silver and gold. But now Chandu will teach you this secret of the ages. With his mystifying Assyrian money changer, you can change pennies into dimes. Chandu will send you this magic trick for just 25 cents and a White King box top. You place a penny on the table. Cover the coin with the mystic ruby block, the magic money-changing block. Utter the magic word, so coot. Then remove the block, and in place of the penny, there is a silver dime. You boys and girls will want to start your magic collection with this Assyrian money changer. Here's a fine pocket trick for you men to spring on your friends and business associates. And if you ladies want to be sure your guests have a good time at your next party, try entertaining them with Chandu's magic trick. Just send 25 cents in coin and a box top from White King Soap to Chandu, Los Angeles 21, California. That's Chandu, Los Angeles 21. Make magic your hobby. Make White King your wash day soap. You'll love White King. Chandu the Magician is based on the original radio drama created by Harry A. Earnshaw and is written by Vera Oldham. The makers of White King invite you to listen tomorrow at this time when the story resumes. Chandu the Magician. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.